Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, May the 25th. And I'm looking forward to your recommendations of movies that you think I should see this weekend and those you think I should avoid, wondering what movies you are most anticipating this summer. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. It's being called the Summer of Sequels. And some of them are already out or will be opening this weekend, and many more to come. And as we often do just before or around the Memorial Day weekend, we talk about movies with Mike Mayo, movie reviewer and author and editor of books about film for the Video Hound DVD series. His website, maxandmike.com. And again, we will welcome your thoughts and questions about movies for him and your recommendations of movies for all of us at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Mike Mayo joins us by phone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are things going there?
Really good. How about you?
Very nice. Summer started.
Yeah, that's right. And summer has started at the movie theater, too. We already have some of the, the blockbusters out, like Spider-Man 3.
Exactly. I mean, and that opened almost, 3 weeks ago, May 4th. And it used to be that Memorial Day was the official beginning of summer. But they pushed that forward now, and I think, we're just going to continue to see things all the way through August for the big summer blockbuster things.
Yeah. Spider-Man 3 seems to me is getting some lukewarm reviews.
Yes. Then the problem with it, and we'll be saying much the same thing, I think, about Pirates of the Caribbean at the World's End, it's simply so big. They tried to stuff everything they could into the movie to put everything that the fans liked about the first two films, put all that and much, much more into the same setting, and so you get a really long movie. I believe Spider-Man 3 is about 2.5 hours long. Pirates of the Caribbean 3 is almost 3 hours long, and those are hours that are filled with stuff, big special effects things. Particularly Spider-Man 3 has one character and effect that is just a knockout.
Is that the guy of sand?
Yes, the Sandman character who's played as a human being by Thomas Hayden Church, but he becomes this sand creature who's really interesting to watch, but he's got to share screen time with two other villains too. So like I say, the whole movie is just stuffed with things.
I have a clip from Spider-Man. I'm not sure what villain Spider-Man is fighting with here, but he's trying to convince the villain that he did not kill his father.
Harry.
You knew this was coming, Pete.
Listen to me. I didn't kill your father.
Ugh.
He was trying to kill me. He killed himself.
Shut up!
That sounds like it had to be the Sandman guy.
No, this was the James Franco character whose dad, Willem Dafoe, goes back to the first movie. A lot of the stuff in Spider-Man 3 goes back to the first movie, revisiting old issues here. And I'm not giving away anything here, really, but for part of the movie, James Franco is a bad guy. In that scene, he's a bad guy. But for a long stretch of the movie, he's a good guy again. When he has amnesia, then he's a bad guy again. So, like I say, it's just stuffed. And if you're a big Spidey fan, then this is just, meat and potatoes for you. You're just going to love every second of it. But if you're only a casual fan of things, by the two-hour mark, you're going to be looking at your watch and thinking, how much longer have we got to go here?
Now the Pirates of the Caribbean sequel opens this weekend?
It starts officially today,
okay.
Though a lot of theaters jumped and had screenings last night, too. So today is the official opening day of it.
Yeah, in fact, we will have a little preview here of that.
Sail, Greenwood, brace, and sheet.
Greenwood, brace, and sheet.
All the pennant line.
All the pennant line.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
No, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
No, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
I think I get it.
Yeah, more args per minute there.
So is this that's too long?
that's the advanced reviews I've seen said that everything that happened in the second one, where you've got all of these big scenes, these very elaborate special effects scenes that have like a Ferris wheel in them, all of those are repeated here, and the crazy plot that just got so complicated. I in the second film, I just quit trying to follow it. I decided it's not important. I will just enjoy what's on the screen and not try to make sense of it. We've got even more of that here. But I believe in that scene, that was Jeffrey Rush and Johnny Depp we were hearing, and Bill Nye's in it too, and Chow Yun-Fat. I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. All over the place. And if you're a fan of that, and Pirates of the Caribbean 2 is one of the biggest money-making movies of all time, so a lot of people are fans of it, you're going to get even more of it in number 3.
Talking with Mike Mayo, movie reviewer, author, and editor of books about film for the Video Hound DVD series. His website, maxandmike.com, talking with us about the current movie crop, summer movie crop, and previewing some of the movies that are coming to a theater near you this summer, and welcoming your questions for him, your recommendations of movies that you think we ought to see, or maybe even those we ought to avoid. How about what movie are you most anticipating this summer? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
In 2007, leaping his way onto the silver screen, the greatest hero in American history.
I forgot what I was supposed to say.
The Simpsons Movie, opening worldwide July 27th, 2007.
Oh, we better get started.
I teased listeners with that teaser from The Simpsons Movie at the top of the hour, and now we'll find out what Mike Mayo thinks about that, or what we were hearing about The Simpsons. And again, welcoming your thoughts, your questions about summer movies at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. So The Simpsons comes to the big screen, Mike Mayo.
Yeah, and this is odd because films, TV series that go to the big screen have a very mixed record. A few do well, most don't. And The Simpsons is such a unique thing. There's never been an animated series that's been nearly as popular as it. And so, can they bring that wit and freshness to the big screen? I have a feeling they'll be able to, simply because these guys have done it so long, they know what they're up to. And I just ask myself, completely putting aside my critic's hat and all that, is this a movie that I want to see, that I'm ready to go out and shell out my $7-8 mm-hmm. whatever to see? And the answer is yes. I'm a fan of The Simpsons, and I kind of like to see what they can do without the constraints of TV. Will it, how crazy will they go? So, yeah, I think this is going to be a hit.
Yeah. It seems to be, and I'm exaggerating here, one of the few movies that's not a sequel. Lots of sequels this summer, aren't there?
By some counts, there are as many as 14, because we've got things like even Evan Almighty, which will be out in just a few weeks, is actually a sequel to Bruce Almighty with a different Steve Carell instead of Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. Ocean's 13 and Fantastic Four. All the way through the summer, we've got one sequel after another coming up. And it used to be that sequels were kind of throwaway things where the studios were simply trying to milk a few extra bucks out of a title. I think we've gone beyond that now. When a movie does well, they really try hard now to build on the success. As we were just saying about both Spider-Man and Pirates of the Caribbean, they try to give more because they're putting a lot more into them.
Lots of callers who want to talk about movies. Rick in La Crosse is first. Hi, Rick. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. Mark your calendars. I can't wait for Michael Moore to put a mirror up to the Gulish Medical Industrial Complex in Sicko, which comes out June 29th.
Yeah, that's right. We've heard a little bit about this because Michael Moore and Fred Thompson have been having a feud, Mike Mayo.
Yes, indeed. And this got a very good, positive reaction at the Cannes Film Festival. That's nothing new. Michael Moore's films always do well over there. I have not seen it yet. I have heard that he's kind of doing a slightly gentler and more folksy kind of humor in this one, and letting the subject, you know, kind of take center stage as opposed to Michael Moore. And I think that's a good thing, because I've always found him as a screen persona, he sometimes gets in his own way and actually detracts from what he's trying to say. So Sicko is, I think, going to, you know, cause a lot more comment the way his films always do. And Rick's right, it's going to come out at the end of June.
All right, looking forward to that. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other non-blockbusters, too, art house films, that sort of thing. I saw lots of good reviews for a movie called Waitress that is currently playing at the new Sundance Theaters in Madison. Madison just recently opened up, I think, the first Robert Redford in his new chain, the Sundance Theaters. Have you heard much about Waitress?
Oh, yeah. This is a movie that has gotten just incredible response from audiences. It stars Keri Russell and, of all people, Andy Griffith from the TV
really?
Show.
Mm-hmm.
And she's playing a young married woman who's pregnant and who is also a cook. And it's all about her. She's very unhappily married, and so it's just a lot of kind of comedy drama, I guess, is the best way to put it. But it's characters in a situation that people really relate to. It also stars Nathan Fillion, who for fans of Serenity and Firefly was the captain in those, a guy who's got a lot of, you know, just a big fan base out there, too. And this is becoming the sleeper hit. This is my Big Fat Greek Wedding of this uh-huh. year. It's just been playing in a few markets until now. It's opening wider this week, and it's just getting great word of mouth. I expect to see it do very well this summer.
There's another one on my list. Tom in Mundelein, Illinois. Hi, Tom.
Hi. It's Mundelein.
Sorry.
That's all right. I'd like to mention an offbeat movie, which I haven't seen because it didn't last very long. It's about a manic depressive bicycler, and it's named The Flying Scotsman. I wonder if your guest is familiar with it at all. Thank you.
I know the title, and that's all. And, you know, from what you said, that's not exactly the kind of short review that's going to drag me out to the theater. Why do I want to see a movie about a manic depressive bicycler?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks very much, Tom. Craig in Green Bay, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I guess I realized after I called in that the movie I was talking about wasn't exactly a new movie, but it's out in CD. But anyway, it's called The Freedom Riders, and with Hilary Swank, and it's kind of interesting because it's based on a true story, and
yeah.
She's a school teacher. And so you've heard of it, I'm sure?
Oh, yeah, it just came out on DVD a couple of weeks ago. Was it did okay in theaters. The problem with this movie is, and it is a good movie, but we have seen this story told so many times about the teacher who goes into the inner city school and shows the kids, you know, their true selves, and they're inspired. I've just been over inspired by this. It's kind of like the sports movie about the first, you know, the people that just overcome all sorts of odds and everything. Based on a true story. Those, I find, are the most frightening words in a movie title anymore.
Thank you, Craig. Diane in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I would like to say, on behalf of Spider-Man 3, it has to be the best movie of the year. I love the space. I love the costuming, the dialogue. I love the fact that there was a lot more, he had an alter ego in the movie, and which he didn't have in the first two, but I didn't like the ending because his nemesis turns out to be his very good friend.
No, don't give away, Diane.
Oh, I'm sorry. And The ending was a little bit sad, but I just absolutely loved the movie. It was great.
And see, now, Diane, you're a fan of the Spider-Man movies, and so since it did everything that you'd seen in the first two, that's why you liked it so much, right?
Pardon?
Since it did redid so many of the things that you liked in the first two movies, that's why you thought that three was the best of them.
Right. Okay. Right. I love the third movie because they added a lot more to it, and it was just, there were three different things going on in the movie at the same time, so you had to pay close attention, but it was absolutely wonderful. I loved everything about it.
All right, Diane, thanks for defending Spider-Man 3. There other threes are coming out, Oceans is the third sequel.
Oceans 13, mm-hmm. which is the third of, I guess, after 11, 12. Duh.
Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't remember because I've seen the other two as well. I know that that's George Clooney and Brad Pitt and mm-hmm. all those hunks. Here's a clip from Oceans 13.
This town might have changed, but not me. I know people. Highly invested in my survival, and they are people who really know how to hurt in ways you can't even imagine.
Well, I know all the guys that you'd hire to come after me. They like me better than you.
Ooh, I guess it wasn't a clip. It was the Yeah?
Yeah, that's it. That's Ocean's 13, mm-hmm. and that's George Clooney and Al Pacino. Even just hearing him instead of seeing him, you can hear the scenery just dissolving mm-hmm. around him as he chews it. I'm really looking forward to this one because I loved the first, Ocean's 11. Hated the second one. I thought Ocean's 12, I just want to put it out of my mind. I thought it was such
really?
A bad
yeah,
movie.
I remember seeing it not liking it all that much either. Yeah.
But this, to me, they're back in Vegas. It looks like they've really got that same vibe back that they had going in the first film that was just so much fun. And I must say that Ocean's 11 is one of those DVDs that every year or so I pull it out and just watch it again because I have so much fun with those guys. And I'm really hoping they're going to get that same thing going again with 13. Of all the things that are coming out this summer, that's the one that I am most looking forward to going to see.
Yeah, it's on June 8th, according to the list I have here for Ocean's 13. The one that my husband's going to make me go to, and I don't mind, but he is a big fan of the Bourne Identity series. Bourne Ultimatum is coming out on August 3rd. Any word on that?
Yeah, again, it's the same, all of the same creative people behind the first two, the cast, writers, and directors are all involved in this one. And so, again, it looks to do exactly what Diane was talking about with Spider-Man, that if you enjoyed the first ones, it's going to recreate that same feeling, that same really tough action feel, the hard-nosed quality of those. After Ocean's 13, Bourne Ultimatum is the one that's on my list.
Talking with Mike Mayo about the movies on his list that he's most anticipating for this summer, current crop of summer movies, some already out, many more to open soon, coming soon to a theater near you. And we're welcoming your thoughts about summer movies. Which one are you most looking forward to? Maybe you've already seen one and want to let us know if you liked it or not. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Mike Mayo, movie reviewer, author, and editor of books for Video Hound DVD series. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Friday morning, May the 25th. We're talking about summer movies this hour with our movie reviewer, Mike Mayo, author and editor of books about film for Video Hound DVD series. Reviews movies as well on his website, maxandmike.com. And we welcome your recommendations of a new movie that's out that you think we ought to catch. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Welcoming your questions about movies that are anticipated this summer, maybe the one you're most looking forward to. We welcome your questions and comments about movies. Many are calling this summer A summer of sequels. We've already talked about Spider-Man 3 and the third in the Oceans series, Oceans 13, opening in early June. Then there's also the sequel for the Bourne Identity series, The Bourne Ultimatum, that's coming out in August. And, boy, all sorts of sequels, including Shrek 3.
Shrek, please come hither.
Yeah, Dad?
This kingdom needs a new king. You and Fiona are next in line for the throne.
Oh, next in line. Now, you see, Dan, that's why people love you. Even on your deathbed, you're still making jokes.
Shrek 3, I didn't see 1 or 2, and I'm probably not going to see 3. What about you, Mike Mayo?
I have seen 1 and 2, and I saw 3, and I loved it. Now, I'm going to go against the grain here. A lot of people really liked the first one and thought the second one wasn't quite as good. I disagreed. I thought it was just as good as the first. Like any sequel, you lack the freshness that you have when you discover something new. But I thought it did a wonderful job, told a very nice, tight story with interesting characters and a kind of double-layered humor that on one level appeals to kids and on another level appeals to adults. And I could just reprint the same review for Shrek 3. I thought it did all of those things. It's also a nice, quick movie because since it is aimed at younger audiences, it doesn't go on real long. I think it's less than 90 minutes or right at 90 minutes. I think it's going to just be a huge hit this summer. I, for my taste, enjoyed it much more than Spider-Man 3. It really did everything I wanted. Ends with a terrific, I'm not going to give away any of the ending, mm-hmm. but I thought that the last 20 minutes of it, I laughed as much as I have in a long time.
Yeah, and the only reason I haven't seen them is I consider them more, you know, movies for children, just like I'm probably not going to see the Harry Potter sequel coming out.
Yeah, and it's the same way. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, if you're a fan of the series, I think you'll like it, but it's certainly, this is not the one you want to start with. If you're, mm-hmm. if you are interested in them, you really should go back and watch them in order, starting with the first one. I've liked them, and it's funny because I had started reading the first book right before the film came out, and then decided just to stop and watch the film and try to think of it on its own rather than having the images from the book. And so I've become a real fan of the films. I just like the way they look, what they do with the characters, and I've stayed away from the books altogether. So, again, like I say, I'm a fan. They do what I want. I'm kind of looking forward to this one.
That's the fifth Harry Potter movie?
Yes, I believe so.
Wow. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, opening on July 13th. Back to the phones we go. Teddy in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I was I had two questions for you, guests. The first one, I want to digress a little because there's this sense that you can only do 3 movies, and you know there's this sense that if you do any more than 3, then you either ruin the movie, the storyline, or you mess it all up. Of course, Halloween 1 through 15 probably proved that. But I wanted to get your guests' opinion about the trilogy of Blade, because I thought the first two were so groundbreaking. I thought the third one was just pitiful, and it just looked as if Wesley Snipes wasn't even in the movie, per se, in the storyline. But when I watched those, I got the sense that you could only really do 3. But, you know, now you just mentioned a Harry Potter movie. Obviously, if you've got a good storyline and you've got people that are following it, you know, you can just continue to do it. And I think Superman did it as well with the Superman movies.
Yeah, but I think there is something about the trilogy. Now, Harry Potter is slightly different in that J.K. Rowling, you know, said from the beginning she was only going to write a certain number of books about this, and she had an idea for a story that went over all of those books. So I wouldn't count them in precisely the same mm-hmm. way that I would a lot of the trilogies. Like, say, arguably, you know, the best trilogy of films ever made, the first 3 Star Wars. And by that, of course, I mean the original ones, not, however, the silly numbering system is now. But I agree with Blade. I really liked the first film, thought it did all kinds of groundbreaking things, and then just thought that they really lost the energy with it in the second two. Second one was okay, and I agree with you. I thought the third, it had been a long time since it came out, and I had the feeling there was no real creative spark. It was made by people who had been contracted to make the film, but there was nobody there who was just dying to tell that story. And
it was the worst storyline. It was pitiful.
And that's the thing. It doesn't matter whether you're making, you know, just low-budget escapism or a serious film. There's got to be somebody behind it who really wants to tell that story and is doing his or her best to put it on screen in the best way possible.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Teddy. Noticing here that there is another sequel. It's not three, but number four for the Die Hard series, Live Free or Die Hard, on June 29th. And there's a question mark here. Is this the end closure?
I kind of hope so. Mm-hmm. This is sort of the big question mark of the summer. It's been so long since the third film, and just what we were saying about, you know, the quality of those films, I think, really dropped off with the third one. And so now people are saying, you know, is this kind of action movie, is it completely passé? Or does Bruce Willis still have the draw to get people in? Another interesting thing, and I just saw a trailer for this on TV the other night, and they said this film has not yet been rated. So I think that means that the studio is kind of hedging its bets, trying to decide, are we going to go with a really kind of hardcore R-rated action film, or are we going to water it down to a PG-13 rating to try to attract more viewers? I think they'll be cutting their throats if they do that, because I think the fans of the Die Hard films really want to see the rougher edge of things. Try to get it a PG-13, I just don't think it'll work.
Yeah. Next is Dave in Madison. Hi, Dave.
Hello. I'd like to recommend two movies I've seen recently. The first is not exactly a sequel, but is very reminiscent of the old, wonderful British comedies with all the characters, and that's Hot Fuzz. And it's like they've taken the old British comedies and put it on steroids, because it's got lots of action and stuff, too. But it's a very sophisticated comedy satire in the British comedy genre.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one I enjoyed recently, it's a very complex morality story and extremely well done, Black Book. And that's also playing at the new Sundance Theater. And it's a very interesting and complex study of a Jewish woman and the choices she has to make to survive in Nazi-occupied Holland. And I thought it was an excellent movie.
Wow, two very different recommendations, Dave.
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Any comment on either of those, Mike?
Both excellent movies. Black Book is directed by Paul Verhoeven, the guy that did Basic Instinct and all the other, you know, kind of tawdry Hollywood movies. But he is a Dutch director, and he's kind of gone back to his homeland for this. Black Book is almost kind of a companion piece to a film he made earlier in his career called Soldier of Orange. And I like both of them very much, and I like Black Book. Hot Fuzz also is done by the same people who did Shaun of the Dead a couple of years ago. And it's kind of transposing the American cop action movie cliches to a quiet little English village. Again, very well done. I'd recommend both of these for grown-up audiences. They're not really for kids, but they're terrific recommendations.
Thanks a lot, Dave, for the call. We're talking with Mike Mayo, movie reviewer, author, editor of books about film for Video Hound DVD series. His website, maxandmike.com, talking about the current crop of movies out there now and the upcoming movies this summer. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Friday, May the 25th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's our Friday Week in Review. We'll welcome in two guests with different perspectives to talk with you about the big political issues of the week coming up after 8. Right now, we're talking about summer movies, the ones that are already out, the ones opening this weekend, and the ones down the line. 1-800-642-1234. Have you seen a good movie lately? You want to recommend it? Are you anticipating, waiting with bated breath for a movie that's going to be coming out this summer? Memorial Day weekend, often the kickoff of the summer movie season. Many, though, have already opened, including Spider-Man 3, which we've talked about. Lots of sequels this year. This weekend, the Pirates of the Caribbean sequel will be opening. Pirates at the Caribbean at World's End. We've talked about some of the others. Shrek the Third, Ocean's 13, The Bourne Ultimatum. We will have Live Free or Die Hard later in June. That's the fourth in that series. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, the fifth in that series. Talked a lot about those. Had some listeners recommending movies like Sicko by Michael Moore out later in June. Just heard someone tell us we ought to see Hot Fuzz or Black Book. What about you? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Julia in La Crosse is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I did go see Spider-Man with a friend, and I have to tell you, I was just disappointed. It's the same thing, just in a different version. So that was my opinion on that, which is typically why I don't like summers, because of all these sequels. But I was curious if he has seen the movie Reuben and Ed with Crispin Glover.
What is it called again?
Reuben and Ed. It's a sleeper movie, a wonderful movie, and it's probably 10 or 15 years old now, but it's hard to find, and I just was wondering if he has ever seen it before.
Yeah, but it's been so long, I don't remember it. You threw me when you said that, because I was thinking, this is not a new movie. But it is out on DVD, I think.
Yeah, I was just curious, because very few people have seen it, and it is such a sweet movie. So that was just my movie for the day. It was Reuben and Ed. But, but the trilogies are typically why I don't like the summer, because it's just this, I feel it's just the same thing over and over again. So that's kind of my opinion on that.
Thank you very much, Julia. I also saw some press on Spider-Man 3 that might be the last one. Or did I see Kristen Dunst say that if I'm not in the next one, it won't be any good? I can't remember.
Oh, well, people have said various things, and I believe they have talked about this being the last one, but at the same time, when a franchise has made this much money, they almost have to continue it. I think they would be wise to find new actors to take it in a different direction. Because as you could kind of gather from what everybody said about this, the first three movies really all sort of fit together. As I was saying, Spider-Man 3 goes back to the first film to pluck key plot points involving the characters and to I thought, just rehash them more than they needed to be done. So they really need to go in a new direction, get a new villain, do something else. I really think, particularly since this one costs so much to make, by some estimations, this is the most expensive movie ever made, upwards of $250, $300 million. So if they're going to try to do more than that, it's just going to be impossible to make money with it.
Now, you said earlier that you're looking forward, maybe even more so than anything else, Ocean's 13 and The Bourne Ultimatum. What else are you looking forward to this summer?
There is a new Pixar movie called Ratatouille that looks kind of fun, simply because the Pixar guys really know what they're doing with this kind of animation. And it's not going to be a real strong summer for kids. We've got that and another one called Surf's Up that I think could do well for younger audiences. They both look like they're good. They're done with computer-generated animation, which is what the kids like these days. So I'm looking forward to both of those, and I hate to say this because I really do not care for the films of the guy who made it, but Michael Bay, but I think Transformers, which is coming on July 4th, mm-hmm. is going to be kind of the big splashy special effects movie about these giant robots who come and attack the Earth. I have a feeling that's going to do very, very well.
You didn't have Rush Hour 3 on your list.
No, that's one, again, where I just can't see that there's mm-hmm. this great passion to tell more stories about Jackie Chan and Chris.
Yeah. All right, Dave and Marinette. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment about the new Rambo movie coming out. It seems like that they're going towards more gore from the preview I've seen. Like the old war movies used to be where someone gets shot, you see a blood patch. But now they're going to more depicting more like limbs and guts and all that stuff.
Yikes, I didn't even know a new Rambo movie was coming out.
Yeah, it's called John Rambo, I believe. And, you know, Sylvester Stallone managed to pull one more rabbit out of the hat with Rocky Balboa. Mm-hmm. So I guess we're going with the same, you know, kind of reasoning here. I can't say that I'm as excited about another Rambo movie as I wound up being happily surprised by Rocky Balboa. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to be that surprised by John Rambo.
He said that it was really graphic, and he notices that more of these movies are more graphic.
Yeah, and they can simply show violence more now with the increased accuracy of special effects than they could before. But we've also seen that tendency, particularly with war films, to go back to the style and look of the 1950s and late 1940s with the technical expertise of today. And we can, you know, take all of that back to the success of Saving Private Ryan, which everybody has been trying to reproduce. It had the same desaturated color that suggests the black and white of the serious war films then. And so that's what we're going to be seeing more of. And we just saw that with Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima, Letters from Iwo Jima just came out on DVD this week. And by the way, I recommend that highly to mm-hmm. war film fans.
Andrew in Downsville. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, just wanted to ask your guest, and it's not coming out this summer, but next summer, the Batman Begins sequel, I think it's Dark Knight, is going to be coming out. I just wanted to see what you thought about that. And
the initial stuff that I've seen with Heath Ledger as the Joker looks good, and I thought they did a really fine job with Batman Begins. I'm happy to see them going ahead and doing the second one. And I'm glad they waited a bit, so didn't try to rush it in. I really liked it, and I hope they can keep that kind of dark gothic spirit to it, which I thought the last sequence of Batman films lost that and became just too campy. I'd like to see them treat it as seriously as they did in the first one, and it looks like that's what they're going to do.
Another sequel. It is the second in this one. It's called, and I have to admit I haven't heard much about this, so we'll ask Mike Mayo more about 28 Weeks Later. And here's a clip from that.
Welcome to London.
We're heading into District 1. Although District 1 is completely safe, outside the security zone, London remains a wasteland. There are a large number of bodies still left to be cleared from the original outbreak of infection.
Oh, what about that one?
Yeah, this is a very interesting movie. The sequel to 28 Days Later, which was a horror film that came out summer before last, I believe. And it was basically a zombie movie set in England where a plague had reduced the population to these flesh-eating zombies who are, you know, the same characters we've essentially seen in the Night of the Living Dead films, but these were fast zombies. They could run after you, so they weren't as easy and they were more visually interesting. And the film had a real nice political subtext to it, too, about, you know, how do we deal with something like this? Do we have, you know, rule by civilians or martial law? They've taken that one step farther with this, where they're trying to repopulate England after the plague of the original one. Mm-hmm. Serious, nicely done. I recommend it. It's, again, because it is your basic bloody zombie movie, not for everyone, a hard R rating. But I liked it, and I recommend it. It's still playing in some places,
yes,
too.
Yes, and I'm sure my nephew has seen that one, if it's a zombie movie. Anna in Burlington, hi.
Hi, thank you. I have heard that they are redoing Indiana Jones and making another sequel. And I don't know if it's coming out this year or next year. I don't know anything about it. But I'm a little concerned that the main character is a little too old or a little older and may not be able to do the
Say it ain't so. Poor Harrison. Is he too old to do a sequel, Mike Mayo?
Anna, where did you hear this? Harrison has grown old? Who let this happen? Yes, indeed, they are making the fourth Indiana Jones, and Steven Spielberg is directing again. Harrison's going to be back. They're also, they've been trying to talk Sean Connery in, and, you know, I have a little trouble seeing it, too. I think Harrison can pull it off. Special effects being what they are, yeah, he's got a few years on him, but he can still handle this stuff. And if there's anybody in Hollywood who's in need of a hit, it is Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I guess so. And, you know, we have just a minute to go. We talked about a lot of them. Anything else that's coming soon?
Yeah, well, it's not. It's coming. It's still
in
out
summer.
There, and I want to recommend Fracture.
Okay.
A nice little thriller with Anthony Hopkins and Ryan Gosling. I like this kind of movie because it's very much a puzzle thing. You're trying to figure out who did what, and there's a big trick ending that I'm not about to give away. And I'm real good at figuring out trick endings, and it completely fooled me.
Ooh.
So that's why I really like that. If you missed it, if it's gone already, it'll be out on DVD by August, I think. So kind of keep your eye out for that one. I think
Excellent.
It's really worth a look.
Got a lot of them for my list for the summer. Mike Mayo, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Mike Mayo, movie reviewer, author, editor of books about film for Video Hound DVD series. His website, maxandmike.com. Thanks to Carmen Jackson and to Cheryl Gasser and to Karen Prager and to Christina Taylor for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.